Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
They stole that right from the Texans. I just looked up here on
Thievery
NFL Live. Ben Johnson, who took over the Bears job. It reminded me of that scene when they brought in D'Amico, like into the building. Everybody was all on the stairs and stuff, cheering him on. It seems like this, the Bears just flat stole that from you.
Copycat League, Ron.
It is.
Copycat League.
Yeah, you're right. Someone called Ranch Satan's what?
Sperm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things
I
can say.
I'll be honest with you. I like spicy ranch, too.
There's a lot of things I can say there that do not violate FCC as far as the words are concerned, but the connotations, I'm going to try not to get fired and just shut up about it.
Yeah. Yeah, spicy ranch is good. I like it. All right. As you hear that voice there, that is Patrick Creighton. You hear him generally, one year, I'm all over the station, but generally hear him at night, Area 45. He, Bajani, and Christopher Santiago, you hear him every single night. And I believe now you guys are going to be going back to going to 6 to 10.
So from once we start, because they will not be in Area 45 tonight since I'm on now. But once we bring Area 45 back and we're done with all this crappy weather, Area 45 will be on 6 to 10 through the Super Bowl as Texans Radio is on hiatus. And then after the Super Bowl, we'll be back in our regular 7 to 11 slot.
There you go. All right, I want to stick a pin in what you just said. We'll entertain that in a bit. Last night, another champion was crowned, Ohio State. They won. I'll be honest with you. I then decided to move on over to Baylen in the middle of that game. I slid over to Baylen. Tyler knows our girl who has Tourette's, her new show on TLC. It is fantastic. I've been following her for a while.
Is Baylen the person or a show?
Well, it's the same thing. She's the person, but the name of the show is Baylen. She has an aggressive Tourette's.
I have no idea who this is.
Oh, I'll show you.
The fact that she has really bad Tourette's makes me want to see it.
And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of in the space that I think you're in right now. I put Tyler on her. I put Tyler into knowing or listening to her. Not, I didn't put Tyler on her. But it is kind of the feeling that you have right now. And then it's just kind of dope because, like, she's just kind of living life. And, you can see her family. She's got a boyfriend. But it is aggressive. It comes out.
So are you protecting the boyfriend by not putting Tyler on her?
Well, I'm trying to protect Tyler. I didn't want to say I threw Tyler on her.
She ain't ready for this.
We did find out in the first episode during intimacy, she does not She does not go what? Off into
she,
one
does
of
she,
her.
Does she not like the nipples or something?
No,
Tyler's just, big onto the nipples.
She, well, I don't know. I don't think
his own specifically
against nipples. I just remember she's not against. She doesn't have her tics during intimacy. Is what? Her,
oh, that's clutch.
I don't want to give it away, but check it out.
Yeah,
but anyway,
check it out.
It was 31-7. I said, well, I'm gonna slide over and check out Baylen because I've got her on DVR, and then I came back in. After putting the kids to bed, and oh, they're two scores now. I said, okay, uh-oh. Then they drove it again after getting a turnover to start the fourth quarter. I thought a terrible decision, but he missed the field goal. Still two scores. Then they got it back again, and they scored pretty quickly. It was like, oh, it's a one-score game with 4 minutes. They got all three timeouts. Here we go. But then Ohio State pulled away and did their thing. And they won that game behind Will Howard. What a year he had in the transfer portal. I never saw him play that way at K-State. But he was special. Big game. Probably had his draft stock raised big time. But I think this is where we're going, Tyler and Patrick. And I know, Tyler, this is uncomfortable for you. The SEC is now normal. To me, I believe now... Where we are, the SEC has reached a point where it felt like, A, it was the SEC above everybody else, and then it was all the other conferences. And now we're 2 years removed. The Big Ten, Ohio State, and Michigan have won the last two championships. Then you start actually looking like Tennessee goes one and done, and they get the doors blown off of them by Ohio State. All right, and then Georgia loses to this Notre Dame team. And they lose in SEC country in the Sugar Bowl. Then Texas, who just got to the SEC, they had a fight with Arizona State that could have gone either way, and then they end up losing to Ohio State. And then even in the bowl matchups, Michigan, who is down this year, beat a number 11 Alabama. South Carolina lost to Illinois. I just think the SEC is now come back to the pack. And it's not a different thing, and I think rankings will look different. I feel like there were times in the past that the SEC schools would get the benefit and just get higher rankings, and you'd look up there because they're in the SEC. I think it's going to be back to the pack now, with the Big Ten having these big wins. Notre Dame beating SEC teams, they go on the road to beat an SEC team to start the season. I won't say the name of the team, but then. I'm trying here. I'm not trying
you
to get
son of a.
I'm just saying I'm trying. I'm not
don't.
Saying the team who it was.
Don't. I'm in a good place today.
It is an SEC team. I'm just saying. I think the SEC has come back to the pack, and Alabama's not the same, and Georgia, and the transfer portal has had something to do with it. But we got a fully level playing field almost now.
I think
at least amongst conference.
I think the Big Ten kind of. Increase their level of play this year. You know, Ohio State was really freaking good this year. Penn State was really good this year. Oregon was terrific this year.
Yep.
Indiana had a great season. I don't know how many great teams they beat. Still had a great season. So I feel like, you know, the addition of Oregon, who was already a really good team, to Ohio State and Penn State, you know, Michigan's going to get through their penalties, and then they're going to wind up being Michigan again because they're Michigan.
Yep.
That the quality of talent and the quality of play in the Big Ten is now going to rival that of the SEC because we don't have a Power 5 anymore. We don't even have a Power 4. We have a Power 2.
Yeah.
And the ACC and the Big 12, they're some good teams.
But
they're not on that level of the Big Ten and the SEC, and it's not close.
But Texas was arguably the best team in the SEC this year. I think probably because you lose to Georgia, I'd probably give it to Georgia. But Texas got further than anybody else. And they're in an absolute dogfight with Arizona State. That's not what you're accustomed to from especially an SEC team or whatever. Like, they're in a dogfight. They should have. I bet you there are people in Arizona State who think they probably should have lost that game.
Arizona State was a really good team this year. Very underrated team this
year. They're underrated, but
they're
supposed
to
be beaten at the top of the SEC.
Texas, I kind of felt the quarterback position kind of held Texas back a little bit. I think Quinn Ewers is a good college quarterback coach. quarterback. I don't think he's a great college quarterback.
Actually, I think he may be a good college quarterback coach. I agree with you on that.
I don't think he's a. I don't think he's an NFL, like a real good NFL prospect. And I thought he was a good college quarterback. He wasn't a great college quarterback. And I think when they go to Arch Manning next year, they're going to be better. They're going to be noticeably better.
They should be. Is Alabama going to be better? Like, Tyler, you admit, do you think the days of, and Tyler, you're big time SEC, the days of the SEC just being clearly head and shoulders above everybody else, I think that's dead.
No, I wouldn't say it's necessarily dead. I agree with you 100% right now in this moment in time as we look at the scape of college football. Yeah, I think you're hitting it on the head, but no, I fully expect going into next football season and otherwise, I mean, whether it's recruiting or wins and losses, the SEC to be that top tier in college football.
Like, I'm not saying they're not going to be good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, it's not going to be, I think moving forward, I don't think the SEC is going to get the benefit of the doubt. Like, when they get teams in, hey, man, if you lose two games, you lost in the SEC. That's a hard... I don't think that they're going to get that benefit of the doubt anymore. Just like, oh.
I think they're still going to get it. But I also think
it's going to take some time before that.
No, I just think the Big Ten is also going to get it. And you got to keep that's in fair. Mind, the CFP committee, the way it's set up, after this coming year, so going into 2026, that committee will largely be controlled by the SEC and the Big Ten. So those two conferences are going to absolutely dominate the 12 teams that are in there. Notre Dame does not want to, you know, officially join a conference. They want to stay independent, but they're usually going to be good enough to get an at-large. So you're going to get, you know, the champ of the ACC, the champ of the Big 12, whoever your top five non-Power 4 team is, and then you're going to get a ton of teams from the Big 10 and the SEC.
Yeah. Maybe that's a fair thing. Maybe they've come back to the pack of the Big Ten, and not the pack of the ACC and the Big 12. Maybe it's just two bigs, and to do that, I don't know.
I don't even know if I'd say they came back. I think the Big Ten has elevated.
It's elevated.
I think they're better.
Oh, I think they've definitely come back.
I think they're better.
Like the top of the SEC, the middle, all of it is not nearly what it was. Like right now. I think the top of the Big Ten is better than the top of the SEC. Like when I say that's going over.
Well, top of the Big Ten is better than everybody right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. And I don't think it's just because they have grown. I think there's a step. Like Alabama, Georgia. Like right now, the top of the SEC is Texas, Alabama, Georgia, or I guess Tennessee.
You'd say those four there, teams. Those four, let's LSU. Say that four.
Let's say those four. LSU was
five.
A&M was ahead of LSU, so I'll put that in there. But if we go over the top four, and then you go Oregon, who was the number one
Oregon,
overall
Oregon,
Ohio
State, those two teams just trump everybody.
And even Michigan. Michigan
for a season this year wasn't good.
They weren't.
They had a big game against Ohio State.
And then
they
Alabama.
Won a bowl game.
Who was Alabama.
But like I think overall, were they 5-4? I mean, they didn't have a big season. No, they're going to be better next year.
Yeah,
I think Alabama's going to be better next year. I don't think DeBoer was
first year, yeah.
I don't think Jalen Milroe really fit DeBoer's offense. You know, DeBoer came from Washington. That was an aerial attack offense. And Milroe couldn't run that offense. So I do think that there is some changing of the way Alabama's going to recruit and what kind of players they recruit to fit his system. So I think Alabama will be back soon. Georgia's going to have a new quarterback next year. Texas is going to have a new quarterback next year. LSU is loaded every freaking year. It's just a matter of how long it takes them to get their bleep together.
Yeah.
So I do. I think those two conferences
yeah,
right
those
now.
Two guys, I believe that, but I, yeah.
That's the top of college football is the Big Ten. SC, and the
maybe
SEC.
It's just a field.
I think they're on an even playing field, those two conferences.
That's just a field. The SEC just doesn't feel, because it used to feel like the middle of the SEC might compete for to win some of like the SEC or the ACC or the Big 12. I don't feel that way.
And for a long time, the ACC has been Clemson and whoever the bleep ever.
Yeah.
And they've been a one-team conference.
All right. I heard, Tyler, PC say through the Super Bowl. I just want to take this time to make sure that we don't, in particular myself, get blamed this year.
You will not be blamed
if you don't make it to New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
I'm not making it to New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
I'm talking about PC. I know you're not, but you didn't go on and blame me.
Last year, I remember now.
Let me tell you, Sean and I.
It ain't going to be on me, damn it.
It was right when Area 45 was getting going.
Sean and I started on January 29th of last year. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate Ron, because his personality, he does not get offended when you talk junk on him. He just talks it back, and I appreciate that so much. Ron Hewley, a way to kind of, you know, get some sparks, some interest in the show was I decided I got to pick somebody on the station, and I'm going to start a little razz with them and blame them for why we're not going. And Ron was the guy, after we kind of sat back and said, okay,
beautiful,
let's look at everybody here and say, who is the guy who's going to play along with this the most?
Is that my boy Ron?
It was Ron. And Ron, he played along with it. He went with it. He didn't get mad. He didn't get surly. We just talked massive trash back and forth. Our audience members loved it.
That was a good time.
Most people thought it was real. And we had a great time. And it really gave me an appreciation for Ron that we can do that kind of stuff.
I enjoy, because, Tyler, these people think I got some pool, don't they?
You do, man. You're Ron the show.
You're right.
Show.
You're right. Now that was the just show, I was just Ron then.
He's the whole damn show.
Now that show is back, I've made the decision that Chris Santiago's not going this year. I've made the call. Parker, I got it. Chris, you're not going to make it this year.
Ron needs to do the RVD thumbs.
He's got to pay your dues.
He's got to do the RVD thumbs and just go, the whole damn show.
Not making it this year. All right, I want you to chew on this through the break. If you're looking at the Texans, the biggest problem on field is clearly the offensive line. How many guys, don't tell me what you think yet, or I mean, at least don't tell me what you want. Tell me what you honestly believe is going to happen. How many guys do you think that are still in the building right now will be starters on this offensive line next year? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
So we enter this season. What happened with the Texans last year? They won 10 games. They won the AFC South. They won a home playoff game, and then they lost to the one seed. This year, the same exact thing occurred. Last year, we walked away thinking the number one thing that was probably the issue on field was the offensive line. This year, we end the year with probably the number one issue on field being the offensive line.
Hello.
And so I want to kick this conversation off, fellas, with just this. We know that's it. When we look on field, we look at it. There are some issues, sure. Yeah, there could be a second running back. Maybe there could be depth in the secondary. Maybe interior defensive line or something. But we clearly know the number one thing that caused the Texans issues on field was the offensive line. And so I throw this out. Right now, Titus Howard can come back. He's under contract. Obviously, Larry Metunzel can come back. He's under contract. Just drafted Drew Scruggs in the second round, moved up to get him. He's under contract. Shaq Mason's technically under contract. Obviously, you just drafted Fisher last year in the second round. Kenyon Green, I guess, is still under contract. Of all these guys that you can think of, Patterson just drafted, he's under contract. Of all these guys that are on the offensive line, how many do you actually think will be back? It will not just be back, but will be back starting on this team's offensive line next year. How many guys, PC? How many guys do you think will be back?
I think four are back. I think Laramie is back. I think Blake Fisher is back. I think Juice is back. I think Patterson is back. I think they move on from Titus Howard,
okay,
who's making a lot of money and doesn't even know if he's going to play right tackle or guard. I think they move on from Shaq Mason, who seemed to age very quickly this past year. And, you know, when you look at what their buyouts and their numbers are, you know, it's probably going to hurt a little bit to get rid of Shaq because you just gave him an extension. But I don't think you can go into next year with a guy who gave up double-digit sacks. And too often looks like he has no idea where he is supposed to be, what he is supposed to be doing, etc. For Titus, I think it's more a matter of he's getting paid too much money to kind of be a guy who isn't going to play the position that they're paying him to play. And I think Titus has value as a tackle. I think they will try to find a trade partner for Titus, and I think there will be a trade partner for Titus. I don't know that there will be one for Shaq, but this is a team that needs to find a way to free up some money to address both its offensive line, left guard needs, potentially a right guard need, and other needs that it'll have, wide receiver, slot corner, second safety. There are needs on this team, and they're going to need to free up some money because they're not going to have the cap flexibility this year if they don't do that they've had in previous years.
I think this team needs to make wholesale changes up front. And I think they may have to bite some money to do so. No strain, no gain. Not a ton, but I think, like, I understand where you're coming from, PC. I just can't feel comfortable if I'm a Texans fan or even just evaluating this team that we cover all the time. And every day, they bring back four of these jokers back.
Well, when I say four of them, you know, Juice technically wasn't starting. So you're adding him in.
He started a good amount of the year.
And Blake, they say no!
And Blake Fisher obviously only started at the very end of the year when they had no choice but to move Titus inside. I mean, they would have kept him as a backup for the whole year if they could have. So two of those guys are either going to be, quote, new or playing a new position.
Yeah, like to me, Blake Fisher, you just drafted him. I got it. Right? And Juice is on the team. I'm not necessarily penciling Juice in as a starter, but I understand, yeah. All right, he's here, and that's an option where he can play somewhere in the interior. We moved up in the second round to get him. I think we're going to give it some time. He had an injury his first year, missed a lot, although he hasn't played well at all. But to me, I just think the Texans, for what, and this goes along with the conversation we had earlier, right, reality versus what you want to get to. They've got to get out of the Laramie Tunsil business. Now, you might have to eat some. Damn sure ain't going to eat like what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson, but you might have to eat a little bit. But you got to get out of the Laramie Tunsil business. He is somebody that can work for certain teams. He is somebody that worked for certain teams if you don't need any kind of leadership at all on the offensive line or any of that. But for what you're trying to do here, I just don't think Laramie Tunsil fits what it seems like D'Amico wants to have here. So I think you've got to get out of that business and find somebody closer to what you're looking for. Now, you might have a drop-off in pass protection a bit.
You can't go any lower than what you got. Like,
I'm talking about you might have a drop-off from Laramie Tunsil. Okay, Laramie Tunsil is one of the best pass-protecting tackles in the game. You might have a drop-off from maybe one of the best to a really good one. All right, I'm not saying just go and just get anybody off the streets, right? But I'm just saying, like, I think you got to get out of that business. To me, it's got to be wholesale changes. And I know some people hate hearing the comparison, but I covered a Chiefs team that just got mollywopped and whooped in the Super Bowl, got beat down by the Buccaneers. And the number one issue that they had was the offensive line. And you saw it, they damn near got him killed. You know what they did? Boom. Drafted a center in the second round. Boom. Drafted a guard a little bit later on. Boom. went and gave Joe Tooney $80 million. Boom. Went and got and made a trade for Orlando Brown to play left tackle and kept one guy. I don't know what they're going to do, but for me, running these four dudes out there, four dudes back, any of these guys back, it's to me, you've got to try something different. I can get some of it is scheme related. Some of it is some of these guys being asked to do things maybe they shouldn't be able to do. But a lot of it is these guys just aren't good enough or fit exactly what it is that I think D'Amico and they want and what they want this offense to be. I just think got to make a move. It's been 2 years. These guys just aren't what they're looking for.
I think it's really hard to move on from your best pass protector the year after you just damn near got your quarterback killed by not being able to protect him.
Well, I think another part of it is that you weren't able to run the ball consistently.
No, but that's an issue they had last year also, and that has to do with the fact that your interior offensive line wasn't very good for most of the year. One of those guys in Kenyon Green got hurt and he was out. Another one was Shaq Mason, who, you know, when he didn't play against the Chargers and they had Juice at right guard and you had Titus at left guard and Fisher at right tackle, that was the best this offensive line performed all year.
But let's just be honest. They weren't great, though.
No, they weren't great. But I mean,
we're judging them on a curve of sucking.
It was the second time they had played together. The first one was the final week of the season in what was limited time because it was a throwaway game. So they didn't have a whole lot of time together, and they were already the best iteration of that line because of, as you said, your curve of suckitude. So if that was by far the best performance of your line, and they'd only had a game and a half together, why would you go back to the line that didn't perform, which of course is what they did? But I think Shaq is gone. And I think Titus is gone because of the dollars. Laramie's contract, if they trade him, they're going to eat at least $15 million.
Yeah. And for me personally, I think it's bigger than just his ability to protect the passer. I think they have got to move on from him because I think it is also, it goes into what they're trying to build in the team that they want to be.
Well, they got the wrong direction because with C.J. Stroud as the quarterback, they should be a pass to set up the run team, not a run to set up the pass team.
Yeah, it's more than I know. We got to go to break here. I see some people texting in. Your thoughts? I think for me there needs to be at least three new starters that are not in the building right now. I think there needs to be at least three new starters here. Where are you at? What is the offensive line you think we should see next year for the Texans? Because you ain't got too many more years of CJ, especially when CJ don't cost nothing. What is it that you feel like you need to see from the offensive line? That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
979 H-Town fan on YouTube and Twitch says, how are we already cap strapped?
979, that's a College Station country.
You know how I feel about the cap. The NFL salary cap is fake. They find ways to work around and do things that they want to do all the time.
Fairy dust.
They find a way, especially when you got a quarterback who ain't making money. Yeah, they can make it work.
As of right now, according to SpotTrack, the Texans have a little less than $11 million in cap space.
Yeah, that's right now.
That's right now.
They can work some stuff.
But I think for the last couple of years, I think people are used to that number being in the 50s.
Oh, it's been higher. Yeah. They've made some moves. I mean, like, you know, Diggs is 1 year that's opening up some stuff. Like, yeah, they've made some moves. But again, the salary cap can be finagled in many different ways. All kinds of teams do it, especially when you're not paying a quarterback. So
they got to pay CJ a very robust, just shy $10 million next year.
Yep.
Which for quarterbacks, as we know, is peasant money.
No, yeah. Yeah, somebody about to pay Sam Darnold 40 or 50.
Somebody dumb.
Somebody about to pay him.
But then again, the Giants did pay Daniel Jones $40 million. There's always somebody dumb.
No, I don't think he that bad. But But no, that's why to me, as I said, many people, some people text in, I agree with show. We need a whole new offensive line. Tunzel has zero leadership value. Let's get a haul for him. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're going to get a haul for him. I don't know what you're going to get. I just do think it's, I think we've maybe reached the moment where it's time to move on, to move forward. Someone said, time to assemble an O-line that fits the culture and skill set they are looking for. Nobody is off limits or irreplaceable.
O-line assemble!
Yeah, I mean,
do we think that's not what they've been trying to do? Like, do we think that they did not draft Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson and Blake Fisher because they're trying to find guys that they think are going to fit what they want to do?
Oh, no.
Yeah, somebody's off on it. Somebody's off big time on these. We'll see about Blake Fisher. And hopefully, you know, he gets a year under his belt and he gets an offseason and he starts to improve like young guys do. I know probably for some of you, the last, you know, his performance, the last time you saw him is probably going to make you a little nervous about him just being your right tackle the rest of the way. I think right now, like even though CJ took a step back, you feel, let me say this, had a step back season. I don't necessarily just say that the cat is just worse than he was last year. At least his season took a step back. You still feel pretty good that you got one of the better young quarterbacks in the game. And you still feel pretty good that you got that dude. And I know a lot of people, and maybe we could talk about this, and we will talk about this, and I'm sure you'll talk about it, PC, on your show down the line. We could talk about rolling out Bobby Slowick. And that's something, and getting another coordinator in here or somebody else to work with him to get the best out of him. Cool. I think also that probably needs to be taking a look at what's going on in front of him. Because
Bobby,
2 years in a row, 2 years in a row, that's been the main problem on field. And last year, they brought a lot of the guys back. This year, they're going to do the same. I tend to agree with what your thought is, PC. I don't like it. I tend to agree that's probably the route. I would imagine they probably have the same tackles. They probably bring Titus back. I don't know what they do with Titus. Maybe you're right. With Fisher, one of them are gone. But you're probably right. They probably are going to say, hey, we drafted Juice Scruggs in the second round. We moved up to get him, so we're going to try our best to make it work.
And that's kind of what it comes down to, right? I mean, teams want to give their higher draft picks more leeway. And if, you know, once upon a time here in Houston, Dwayne Brown was a first-round pick. And after his rookie year, people wanted him like sent anywhere. They sent him to Antarctica. Well, 2 years later, Dwayne Brown was a really damn good player. And you know, to this point in the team's franchise, the best offensive lineman they've had. So the idea, you know, maybe you just got to give some of these linemen, and a lot of coaches will tell you that because of the way that colleges play all these spread offenses, that a lot of the linemen come into the league today nowadays and they're not really ready for NFL football because all they ever played is spread. So they need some time to learn how to run other systems. So, you know, with Juice, now you're changing his position. With Blake Fisher, all right, now he's got a year under his belt and he's got a few starts under his belt. With Jared Patterson, he started probably half the year a year ago before he got hurt, and he started half of this year. So he's had essentially a full season of starting under his belt. I think, you know, kind of like this year, they had to figure out, listen, is Kenyon going to be a player for us or not? They got to figure out, are these guys going to be players for us or not?
And that is really sticky to me. Because, like, in one space, man, we're really close. As we're here,
yeah,
we're really close. Well, damn it, this is about to be CJ's third year, which means after this, he can get paid.
Here comes the money,
God bless, brother.
And to me, we got to stop. Like at some point, we got to stop. All right, man. Hey, Juice been in the program now, going on his third year. Patterson's been in the program now, going on his third year. Blake Fisher, I get it, going into year two, but going with the thought of pulling the hey, let's test it like we did Kenyon Green. I don't know, man. At some point, it's like yo, man, like, we got to get somebody bona fide that we know. Like, and I, when I say somebody, I think they need a good 2 to 3 of those.
Like, but keep in mind, why did they let why did they give Kenyon the leeway? Because he was a 15th overall pick. His rookie season, he played half the year hurt, and he really struggled. His second year, he missed the whole season out with injury. So this was his sink or swim year, and he sank. So he's going to be out of here.
They're all fixable.
But it just never made sense, and it still won't make sense to me, because if you're going to be like, hey, man, Tyler, we go, hey, we were on here. They got Danielle Hunter. Woo! That was a big day. Yo, they traded for Stephon Diggs. Woo!
Swing!
We're going to do that. What you're saying there is we're going for it with Kenyon Green at left guard, and we're going to flip a coin and hope to see that work. Clearly, nobody else to pull. What I'm saying is, if you are going to, on one end, say going for it, you can't just have just...
We sucked.
It'd be nice here. You can't just have well below average play up in front of you, like by multiple dudes.
A bunch of slap D's.
And guys that, whatever that is, and guys that can't, that aren't operating really what you want to do. So that's just my thing is yes.
Like, well, think about it from this point of view, right? They decided that they were going to, but look, we invested a 15th overall pick in Kenyon. They were going to find out who and what he is. When you invest a pick that high in somebody, you need to find out whether or not they can play. So he hadn't played the year before because of injury. They had to find out whether or not he could play. The issue with that is last year you had a guy in Michael Dieter who played better than what you got out of Kenyon this year, played better than what you got out of Kendrick Green, who they didn't even want to play. And he started 10 games for you last year. Well, you know what he's doing right now? He didn't start the season, but recently he's wound up moving in the starting lineup for the Washington Commanders. And you know what? He's played pretty well. So, yeah, could they have gone to him? Now, he's a guy who's 28 this year and not a young guy like Kenyon Green. They obviously didn't have the investment in Michael Dieter like they did Kenyon Green. But you need a guy like that on your bench as your insurance policy. And they let him go, and they didn't really have another insurance policy because clearly they never felt comfortable with Kendrick Green, who they did everything they could not to play.
And see, this, and I see this on the text line. This is the other part of the conversation that I think me and you were going at it about to start earlier in our prep. They were doing some unsound stuff up front. A new O-line coach might help a couple of these guys out. And I'm bringing you in on this too, Tyler. Like, when you watch this offensive line, do you think, like, man, this is a group of talented guys that just need to be coached better?
Hell no.
Is that no? But I think maybe partially yes, but I think there's some people who feel that. But I'm just like, when you
that unit, hell
when
no.
you personally watch it, do you think if they were just coached better?
No, guys, we got Tytus Howard out here ripping a fumble away from C.J. Stroud.
That just happened one time, man. And you still
that's all it takes. Look, I think one time ripping a fumble away from your own quarterback as an offensive lineman. That's all I need.
He's trying to advance it.
I don't think he's going to be here next year. But as far as, look, Laramie got his full start troubles kind of out of the way early the second half of the year. Didn't have those penalties. Jared Patterson, when he was inserted to the lineup.
Just say that out loud real quick. Laramie Tunsil, your most accomplished player and your veteran, got his false start problems out of the way early.
Yeah. That first half of the year, there's a flag every game. And every the second week. Half of the year,
not Blake Fisher, your rookie.
Jared Patterson gave you much better play than Juice Scruggs did at center. He was a better communicator. Scruggs, when he got to play at right guard, was an improvement over anything else they had at right guard this year. Blake had some up and downs at right tackle, but you expect that with a rookie tackle. Blake would usually play the overall majority of the game very well, and he'd have a couple of snaps where he looked bad. And I think with more experience and more, another year in the system, now that he's been exposed to the NFL, some of the things that kind of caught him off guard will not catch him off guard next year, and there's room for growth. So I do think with those four guys, you have the potential for a improved offensive line. You need somebody at left guard who's a mauler, because your left tackle is not a mauler. He's a dancing bear. You need a mauler at left guard that when you run the football, you're going to run between him and Patterson, not between him and
Is Patterson a mauler?
I think Patterson's a solid player. You know, can you improve from Patterson at center? Sure. Are you necessarily going to find that guy this year? I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to trying to find that guy this year, but I think Patterson has been, he's been solid. You didn't have plays where you're out there going, what the blue hell is Jared Patterson doing there, like we do with Shaq Mason, where he's standing there and there's nobody around him. I don't know what the hell to do. So I didn't see plays where I was just so out of my face over Jared Patterson being clueless. So can you upgrade from him? I'm sure you can, but it's more important to me to upgrade left guard.
Yeah,
left guard is an absolute black hole on this team.
Agree with you.
They got to fix it.
And at center, very Jake Myers-like for me, he's fine.
Well, he doesn't have the deficiency if he can't hit a beach ball.
I'm just saying, he's fine. He's just fine. All right, coming up.
Almost made it halfway, boys. Don't do this.
Fine for now.
Dirty's Daily. Dirty's Daily coming up next.